Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as...
I just wish that Tatiana Ali's character, Ashley Banks from Fresh Prince, that... I don't know if she's queer now. I haven't been following her, but, like, she was my jam, like, when I was growing up.
Oh my gosh,
I was like, this is, like, little me. I don't even know when that show first came out. I think it came out in, like, the late 80s, right? That was, like, maybe...
Early 90s.
I thought it was a 90s show, right?
Yeah, early 90s. I'm, like, five... to like 5 years old. But like I was just looking at her, maybe it wasn't in like a sexualized way necessarily, I guess, because I was really young.
No, it was,
I was
girl.
Like, it
was.
Probably was though. It wasn't, but it was.
It was.
But like in that episode where she stood up at her college and was like singing and she was kind of like sexualized, and I was like,
I guess, wow. I'm going to college.
I guess I'm going to college.
Yeah, I know, right?
Amazing.
That inspired me. Thank you, Tatiana. I'm going to college.
That's amazing.
I don't know where she's at now, but props.
She's still being fine somewhere.
I know, but holler.
What's popping, girl? What's good?
Listen to it. I was like,
why am I so into this? Oh, it's a Selena Rebus.
No, at first, because I was like, oh, they got a nice one. I was like,
this is
Amor Prohibido is about me. You know what I mean?
Amor Prohibido.
She wrote it about me.
How is that not the LGBT anthem?
It is my anthem.
Yeah, I was like, how does that not become an LGBT anthem?
It's a queer anthem.
Yeah.
We claim it.
And she's like singing to an open door that she can easily walk around, but she's like singing to a door in the music video. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
obstacles, man. Obstacles to my sexuality.
Just walk
the door's
around.
Right there. Yeah. My bitch is just looking at it.
Just walk around.
Leaving the closet. Yeah.
What up, Corona?
What's poppin', Chingona? Who do we have right beside us?
Right beside us, right here.
Right
in
here.
De Dominguero
right here.
Studios.
Right here, girl.
We
Who's
have
right us?
The stars and creator of Functional Series.
Hey.
What's good?
Hey.
What's good? air horn.
Yes.
What up, y'all? Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you for being here. We have Liz Perez and, oh my God, I almost said Diego Luna.
I mean,
I'm the original.
Look
I'm
at
the
him,
original.
Right?
Though.
Oh my God.
This is like dark-skinned brother.
What do you guys tell our listeners a little bit about you guys?
Well, my name is Daniel.
Hey, Daniel.
Well, I'm excited to be here. I've been a long time listener for a while. Y'all have been like, you know, sponsoring my drives all over LA.
I'm so happy about that.
But yeah, I am a Colorado native from the amazing city of Denver. I've been living in LA for the past 3 years now, since July. Just, you know, trying to live my life, not die, you know, try not to die. Mm-hmm. So far,
it's working.
So far, it's successful. So, you know. But no, yeah, I've been out here for a couple, just, you know, staying busy, and lately been hopping on this fun little amazing project that's been in my mind for a long time ago now, that's now kind of starting to see the light. But this series called Functional, which focuses on Latinx characters, queer people, people of color, so that's been my fun little project out here.
Amazing. And what about you, Liz?
I am born and raised here in LA. Mainly grew up kind of in like the Whittier, Norwalk, La Habra area. Been living like out in Glendale for the past like 6 years. And yeah, I was raised with a single parent. Grew up in that, you know, that sort of lifestyle, just constantly working. Been working since I was like 10 years old in various, like I used to work manual labor when I was like literally 10 years old.
Wild.
And just thought, hey, you know what? I don't want to struggle anymore. So when I made the decision to go to school, I pursued a business degree. And I graduated from USC. And I worked in corporate financial planning for like 8 years-ish. I was going on 8 years. I know.
Wait, what?
What? Where did that come from?
Math.
But then it hit me because of the election. I'm going to get political already, like 2-3 minutes into the podcast.
Let's do it.
The 2016 presidential election was what kind of opened my eyes as to what was really going on in America. Like, we all knew that this racism bullshit existed, and it just became emboldened. And I'm like, okay, what can I do? You know, I've always been like more of a creative mind, but again, I made those decisions to, I needed money out of safety, stability, right? Like, the struggle is it's hard. It's real. But then I said, like, I think that people, let's, for example, who live in middle America, right? I don't know if there are any, like, Latinx people out that way. I don't really have, there are probably a few, right? But it's not like it is here, where it's, you know, we're pretty saturated over here on the West Coast. And I was like, I think that people get their education about us from what they see in the media and what they see on TV, which, as we all know, has not been the best.
Positive, right?
Right, since the beginning of time. So I'm like, that is really what motivated me to say, like, I want to be a part of this new movement and this new wave of, like, POC, QPOC filmmakers and content creators that are creating content for change. And so I was like, I can't, I don't want to do this office job anymore because I don't feel like I'm adding value. So I'm going to go and do this because I can.
Wow.
And why not? So,
yeah.
Drop snaps.
Super snaps.
If you're listening, you can snap for this now. But that's kind of my journey, and that was like, what, 2 years ago. Wow. And now I'm here with Daniel doing this, like, really functional Latinx series that I think, you know, highlights some key things that I think are nuanced to people like us, and I think it's really important that we see ourselves on screen.
I completely agree. This whole podcast agrees.
That's all we do. That's what we're obsessed with. Thank you. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Hello. I'm glad we stumbled onto that topic because I want to know, what can you guys tell us and the audience about Functional?
Yeah. Well, the series it's still coming soon. Actually, you guys were on set one of our final days, so it was so amazing to have
really
you guys
cool.
there.
It was a really good vibe.
Well, the series kind of started from, going back from what Liz was saying, I, in Denver, was going to school kind of the same route. Theater and acting has always been my passion. It was like the first thing that I did that I was like, oh, you know, I was like the awkward little brown kid who ironically couldn't run the fastest, you know, but wasn't good at sports, wasn't good at anything. But then in acting, it was finally the first thing that I did that people were laughing with me, not at me. And I was like, okay, here's an outlet. So it's been a good passion for me. Then I started going to college with that, but, you know, being a son of, you know, an immigrant family, it's like, you know, we're taught to, like, we need to make, you know, we're here to work, you know. Mm-hmm. My parents definitely always loved and respected the arts, so that's something that I did give them props for, but it was ultimately coming down, it's like, so are you really going to do this? So I switched to business as well. I did business management, and I was in, ended up working at an amazing retail store for 5 years. I was a mixture of, you know, either cashier, ended up being, you know, an ops supervisor for 1 point, and then came back to, after I was graduating, I was like kind of looking 2 steps ahead, and I was like, well, what's my next plan? And I was like, going down to the, am I doing this out of comfort? Yeah. And I guess I could see myself doing that again or continue doing it, but then I would see my peers who were older than me, that they've just been doing that, that's all they've known what to do. And it was like, well, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do my passion. So I started going back into my first love, which was acting and film. So this series, to get to your question, here's my TED Talk.
It's necessary.
To get back, though. So this series came down to the line where, when it came down to filming and everything, every time I would go for a role or anytime I would meet someone that was like, hey, this is the roles that you would play, were always, you know, the very stereotypical roles, which, you know, I don't mind. It's not like, for me, playing a construction worker or, you know, the help or anything, it's nothing that's beneath me. That's how I was raised. You know, thanks because of those jobs, that's, you know, how we got our bread and butter. But it was getting to a point for me that made me want to write this, was getting to a point where all these roles were written by people that weren't from my background, that were taking it as a joke, that were taking, like, this is funny, you know, this is very funny. This is how America views us, that, you know, we speak with the accents, we're not that educated. You know, literally a month after I graduated from my business degree, I was in California getting, like, mud on my face to look like a day laborer. So I was like, okay, so this idea kept coming and coming and coming. So finally, once I got my first yes from this amazing girl called Kate Johnson, so shout out to Kate Johnson, I was able to be on her web series called The Leslie, which is about her story as a queer woman coming out. So that kind of gave me the push to then say, I want to do this too. The amazing thing about the Leslie was the first time that I saw, it wasn't this coming out story. It was, you know, like, okay, I'm out, but obviously there's a life after that. So with that, I kind of wanted to take a little bit with that too. So Functional is essentially a story of two queer characters that one's out, one's not, up for your personal life. But it's a story about two best friends, a boy and a girl, trying to figure out their life.
In a material world. Right.
So.
Just shimmied, kind
of, right, yes. But it goes off of, you know, just these topics that I feel are very close to me personally, but stuff that I don't think I've really ever seen someone like me or someone like Liz be represented. So it comes from my personal experiences a little bit as far as being a functional alcoholic. Like, I still need to get shit done, but I'm still, you know, out here trying to figure out what I'm doing. But then also paying an homage to those friendships that you meet that build you who you are. So thankfully, in this web series, I kind of want to highlight a topic that's not really talked about or shown a lot, which is, you know, the queer community, which, you know, queer women and queer men, that, you know, we're the same, we're in the same race for some reason. As of lately, kind of just seems that we're kind of in our own little groups. We're not united.
The reality is that queer men and queer women actually come together and
it's like we are in the same thing. Yeah. But for some reason, there's always, you know, I don't know why, there's like this invisible wall, even though we're running the same.
And that's a stereotype and a characterization that Hollywood makes. Yeah. When in reality, I feel like even people of color, like, you know, all my closest friends are queer men. Yeah. You know, and so it's like, and they're queer Black men. Queer Asian men, they're not even white, like, so
yeah. I mean, it pays the homage of just the trying to figure out your life, getting your shit done, but hey, we happen to be also queer and Latinx, so let's just try to figure it out. So that's what it came out to be, and I've just been very happy with, you know, everyone. Like, here I have Liz, who is just someone who I met. And I was like, oh, I want to be your friend.
Just, like, I don't know how or why he chose me. I don't, like, just sent in a tape. And then he hit me up for, like, another, like, a callback. Yeah. And I was like, really? You picked me?
I saw her audition. Yeah. I just remember the first time I saw her audition. I was like, ooh, do you want to be my friend?
So okay. you guys didn't know each other before? Okay,
no. Well, we were on the alley.
we were probably, you know, we probably drunkenly crossed paths at one point in our life in West Hollywood. Probably. You know what I mean? Like, woke up in the same parking lot. Mm-hmm. But that's, like, probably
so, the so I met her.
Yeah. Right. No. Like, we met each other drunk at Pride. We were doing shots together.
Yeah,
Pride brings people together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, we didn't know each other prior to this whole process. And now that's one of the cool things about a set like this is that you really find community and with people who want to tell these stories and really care. And it's like this group of people, like, we're going to stay friends. At least I hope so. I hope you don't really hate
it
me.
It seemed like it. No, but you guys seem pretty close.
He hates you. He's closing the door on you. No.
Yeah, right? Because you spend so much time with them, and these are long days, you know? And it's great to work with people who just, you know, we want to have a good time, and we want to make great content. And at the end of the day, I think we all have that, like, those goals align. Mm. And we're just a fucking big group of diverse ass people. Like,
seriously.
I think there was one white person.
There was one white person.
No, two white people.
What was the other one? Oh, there's two white people.
Shout out to the white people, though. Hold on.
White people, we need you. We do need you for progress. We need you on our team.
No, shout out the white people on your team.
They're super funny.
As you saw, this was, in a way, exciting, but also sad. It was the first time on set that I was, like, surrounded by, you know, people of my skin tone, people that were queer, people that were people of color. And what I loved, it's, like, people from different backgrounds were coming in making this shit happen. And it's, like, even though I wrote it and put it out there, like, they were the ones making it come to life. And I'm like, oh, my God. So the team, and, like, if anything good comes from it, it's thanks to three people, which is these two amazing DPs, which is Donnie Masangsang and Corey Xenos. Corey, hopefully I pronounced your name right. which are two amazing people. Corey, I actually met from the Leslie, from the web series I was at, which she herself has been a queer creator, putting stuff out. She actually just has an amazing short film that she put out earlier this year called Invisible Struggle, so that's available now. on El Jutu. But she has been an amazing person who's just been, you know, wearing many hats. Same thing with Donnie. Donnie, shout out, was also...
He's like a doctor.
Yeah, he's a part-time doctor.
He was on call.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was on call.
He was like, where's my work phone? Filming. And then he turned around and started filming. And I was like, this is the coolest shit I've ever seen.
Amazing.
Yeah, he was like, oh, like one time he came in scrubs after like delivering all these like things. Oh, so I was like, oh my gosh. Well, we were like a hot mess express, like chugging beers on set.
Donnie's like,
let's just get this shit done. And then the HBSC, who's been running this whole thing, who like by some miraculous reason, like I asked, do you want to be my director? She's like, okay, sure. And she read the script. She's like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll do this. Which is Cheska with Song Song, which is actually, you know, Donnie and Cheska are married, which like
adorable.
Like you know what? I love straight people. Like there's like a straight people that I like stan, like that couple. But yeah, Cheska is an amazing content creator herself, very busy, helped with the Leslie as well, and she has her own web series available now as well. But that one's called It's Complicated. But she's the director. And her and Donnie, they're from the Philippines, actually. So, like, we get, you know, this amazing background of, you know, different mix. And then along with the crew, it's actually been a lot of my friends that I've met here in L.A. So, you know, a lot of different people that are queer, non-queer, but they've just been coming and helping out on the set. So, as what you saw was kind of just a portion from the other weekends that we've had. We've had a lot of other people just come in, just, hey, I want to do this, I want to help. And it's just been... such a humbling experience seeing how people are, you know,
they're willing to, yeah, like, you know,
not even knowing
to give their time,
yeah, not even knowing the project, but once they're on set, they're like, this is actually pretty good. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Not too shabby, but dust off your shoulders.
Thank you. Okay. But again, it's up to, you know, like if there's anything that good's coming, it's because of those three people, which is Corey, Jessica, and Donnie, that's been making this thing a reality. And I haven't really even said what the web series is about yet, so, but, you know.
A little bit.
To
BFFs.
You gotta
wait till it drops.
You know, all I've seen is the one scene, the one scene that you guys recorded the day that we were on set, and I was just like, this is me and Abel. You know, Abel. Abel's my Latino gay best friend who's a fucking hot mess, and like I think I've literally had the moment that you guys had in that scene like 20 times with him. So I felt so represented.
I definitely want to pay homage to those drunken nights where you're just like, well, fuck you, but I love you, bye.
And then the next day you're just like, how are you?
It's
also like, you know, checking your friends, right?
On their
like
bullshit.
If you guys are on that level, you can call them out on their shit and be like, dude, I thought you had my back at that point, and when you don't, I love you that much that I'm gonna tell you you're fucking up. And that's really cool. Going back to what you said earlier, is that we don't see that chemistry between like a queer man and a queer woman on screen, or even between like a man and just a man and a woman.
Right,
like, it's always something sexual, or you know what I mean. It's always like it has to be like some sexual tension or relationship. It's like there are different kinds of love, and friend love is like so important, especially as a young queer person, to have your person that you can talk to and rely on. And then, you know, if they fuck up and they're not there for you, to just be able to call them out on that.
For sure.
Abel, this is for you.
Abel, I don't know you, but...
Abel.
Hi.
Hey. Abel.
Promise.
Miko.
She's taking it personal.
Ooh. No, and then the other thing of, I mean, like... there I stem from, which I felt like when I started talking about it a little bit more, a lot of people were like, yeah, I get it. Like, coming from my background, it's like, when I was coming out, it was like, well, I couldn't really talk to my parents about it. I couldn't really talk to my straight coworkers about it, because they were, you know, my parents would probably say, maybe they wouldn't accept me at that point. Or maybe if once they did, maybe they might say, well, this is going on with the person I'm interested in. They might say, well, then don't do that, because they're a parent. Then I would talk to a straight coworker, and they like just wouldn't get it. You know, they wouldn't get that dynamic, or they wouldn't get my background. So it also pays an homage to those safe places, or that those friends that you meet and you kind of find your own community, your own little tribe. That it's just like, you know, how lucky are you when you find that person? And for the people who haven't found that tribe, it's also just the dedication. It's like, hey, keep looking. You're going to find your friends that are out there for you if you ever feel alone. Go out there, and someone is out there for you, not as a love interest, but just to be, I'm here, I'm going to support you. Because without those people, like, where the hell would we be now?
Seriously?
Like, personally, yeah. Like, there's honestly, definitely one person in my life that has changed my life forever. And, you know, this is in a way is my love letter to that friendship that I've had that's changed my life.
Let's
tears. It's a comedy. It's a comedy.
I'm not that person, but I feel your love.
There's like dust in the air. I don't know.
No, I absolutely love that. Like, I was earlier this year considering writing something about two of my best friends, not just one. But like, whenever I saw it, I didn't know what your series was about. Like, I went on set and I was like, I don't know what it's about. And like, it was just so lovely seeing it. I love what you're doing and I can't wait to be inspired by it so I can copy it. I'm just kidding. But I thought it was such a great story.
Yeah, that one scene was like super compelling.
Yes, we've saw one there,
like,
scene.
Oh my god! Like, why is he? What the fuck is happening? Like, why is he drunk? He's a hot mess, and she's like,
fuck. Spoil everything.
No, that's fine. Well, the story's
him
a hot
being
mess.
A hot mess is not. Spoiler alert!
It really is a hot mess.
Or many other scenes.
It's basically like our early 20s wrapped up in like 13, 14 episodes.
Oh well, yeah.
Is that continuing. How many there's gonna be?
It's going to be 13, right?
Huh?
Was it 13? Did we?
Well, I think we're pushing 14 right now.
Wow.
So, now the goal, I mean, if anyone's out there. Yes. Yeah. Interested. Well, we're actually, like I said, you guys were on the last day of the set. So we are about to start into post, which is a whole other monster that I'm going to probably rely on Jessica for. but we're going to start into post. But the goal is 2019. Here we go. You know, we're finishing 2018, but we're going to continue into 2019.
2019.
Oh, there we go.
2019.
I've been trying to come up with something for 2019. Okay. 19 is hard. I've been working on it. I'm just shopping it.
That's the best one. You know?
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Hashtag 2019.
Okay, so we've got good responses. Carry on that hashtag if you feel in it. If not, come up with something better. I challenge you.
Yeah. I know. I was trying to think of something. I was like, I know.
That's 19 is hard.
It's hard, yeah.
But what I love about this is also is coming based off of, I mean, never in my wildest dreams would I even think I've been doing this and even talking with you guys about this. So it's been very humbling. But I mean, this is also coming from, you know, from, there's a whole world of content that people don't know, which is web series. Like, it's online, available, ready for now, which is self-produced, self-funded by a lot of, you know, people that are trying to put out their own stories. You know, being an actor here is hard enough, but it's like, you know, you're trying to just kind of find someone that believes in you. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the point where it's like, well, I guess I'm going to do it myself. So, and that's, I mean, I'm not obviously the first person who's done this. A lot of people have beaten me to the punch. So there's like a whole world of
content. But props to you for for doing that and, you know, writing your own story and making the shit happen. Like you said, what, a few years ago, it was kind of just like notes on a page.
Yeah.
And this past weekend, we just finished principal photography. So that's huge because if these are the characters that we want to see on screen, they're not really being, you know, we do sometimes, but for the most part in like mainstream media, they're still not being written.
Mm. Right? Definitely.
So it's up to like this community of people that, you know, we're trying to seek out and find to create it. Right.
For
so
sure.
Like mad props to you because I don't. Like, I'm an actor and I write some stuff, but I have not even thought about, like, trying to produce anything of my own. Oh, so, geez. Like, I'm super impressed with you and I love you.
No, thank you.
Aww.
She doesn't really love me. As soon as this thing gets turned off, she's going to try to ram my car. That's how I connect. No, thank you. Thank you. No, but it's amazing. And, I mean, the only takeaway I would love at this point, now that it's going to come out, I mean, it's a whole crew. It's been a whole love affair that everyone's been putting their input on. If there's anything that people would like, that I would love people to take away from this, is that this is one story out of many. This isn't just like, oh, this is it, so that's how everyone must act or be. Like, no. Mm-hmm. If I can inspire it could be like people can see this and say, okay, I want to do my story too. Then that, if that ignites it, then awesome. If people see it, like, well, I don't agree with you on this one, then so be it. You know, like, if that's how we grow. The other thing I've been definitely been obsessed with right now is, you know, how Hollywood's like trying to put out these, you know, like little blurbs about like either Latin people or right now, you know, crazy rich Asians, that everyone's like, we have to make this do so good and nothing bad can come from this show and we can't say anything bad about it or else they're not going to do it. But then we get something like Coco at this point where it's like, amazing movie, I love it. But it's like, we love it so much that we can't kind of pick up the stuff that, you know, we don't want to continue seeing.
That's
yeah.
like our constant dilemma on this show is like, should we fucking go?
Should we trash
it? Oh, like throw it, because at that point it's like, okay, then there's a next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for us,
I think our worry is like, will all this criticism stop there being another time, a next time?
A next time for this, for the things.
Well, that's
that we
why
want
we're
criticize.
There. It's like.
Yeah, I'd, like you said, digital is changing the world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Digital is making it so accessible. So yeah, I'm really glad that you guys are doing this work. This is pretty fantastic. And nice. I'm glad that you guys invited us on set. I was like, why do you want us there?
No, I was like surprised that y'all even said yes. Like, I was like,
us?
Like when y'all arrived, I was like, no, not wearing any shoes. Like they didn't even know where they were coming. I was like, hey, yeah, welcome to this house. Like, you'll probably be murdered.
In my mind, I was like, do they know what they're getting themselves into? Because we are just, we're a well-run machine on set, but we have a good time and we can be hot messes or like look like hot messes. I'm like, they're gonna walk in and we're gonna be like doing a scene where we're sprawled out or like drunk. I don't know. So it's like, what?
Oh no.
Do they know what's happening?
Oh no. I mean, look, we blend right in, okay?
Like, yeah, we walked in and it was like Alcoholics Anonymous time.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, we're talking in
as
the
I drink my beer.
Right? I already, look, see, I'm already.
Yeah, right. I know. I'm ready for a round.
I guess I have like a few questions to kind of around your childhood before you became like actors and creators. Like, what were you watching in your youth? What like inspired you in your youth?
Well, I was actually talking about this earlier. So the funny thing, and my friends already know this, and they're probably rolling their eyes if they're even listening to this. It's like, I didn't grow up with like American pop culture until maybe I went into middle school or high school. I was born and raised in Denver, but my mom is from Mexico City. So, you know, she was the only one of her family living in Denver by herself with us kids. So all we had at home was Los Telenovelas, Juan Gabriel, todo, like, todo ese rollo. So, like, I grew up watching all the novelas, but, like, the good ones. Like, I was, like, inspired by the good ones. Like, I wasn't, like, watching everyone.
It was Ruby and Rebelde, all right?
Oh, you know, actually, I wasn't a fan of Rebelde.
Oh, my God.
That's okay.
But I'm throwing it back. I was, like, watching Marimar. I was watching... Okay. I'm La Usurpadora. Like,
La Usurpadora,
that's the one
epic.
I related to.
I'm so glad it
people
came back.
People my age were like secretly hoping they were going to get a letter from Hogwarts or they're going to be like 16 and their aunts are going to tell them they're a witch.
Okay, at me.
I was hoping that my mom was going to say, you're actually adopted and like your family's rich and you have a twin brother and now you have to go like,
drama.
You know, she wasn't a fan of that theory.
Your stepfather owns like a tequila ranch.
Yeah, so I was like waiting for that shit to happen.
They're all light-skinned and white.
Yeah, I was like waiting for that, looking all like a frijol, but like I was like, maybe that's my life, but no. But that's what I grew up. But I think if I'm taking it back, throwing it real back, was when I was younger when I first saw a show that I was like, hey, this is the first time it's not like ay tacos and piñatas that they wanted to throw. It was, do you guys remember the show with the Brothers Garcia on Nickelodeon?
Mm-hmm. I never watched it.
Yeah,
and
it was like
no head cable. No,
you know,
off
and
on,
that's what
girl,
I said. Yeah, it was off
and
on. So like
my
like,
cable worked when it rained.
Yeah, it was off and on. So like
had,
I would like watch
one of those
it.
Black boxes
yeah.
too, where you like
you had the store kind of stolen
cable. Yeah, so it wasn't like all the time. So I was like, but that's one that like from the glimpse, I was like, ooh, and my siblings and I would watch it, and we'd be like, yeah, okay. Like, it was funny, because, like, it was, like, most of the actors were Cuban, but they played a Mexican family. But, like, the topics that they would talk about were, you know, very broad to, like, you know, just, like, Latin population. And it was the first time we didn't see just someone just, like, literally say, this is just this Latin character that we're just going to make you very stereotypical. Mm-hmm. It was, like, for the first time, we're, like, we can relate to this. It wasn't, obviously, us in a mirror, but, like, it was, like, okay, this is a start. That's cool. We thought it was going to kick off something, but it didn't. But it was a cool thing to see when I was little, but I loved. Well, actually, throwing it back, when I was talking back, I'm, like, horrible at staying on topic. I'm, like, here's another story.
No,
but, no, the one show that did really push me the one that ignited me to think about this web series was Looking, which you guys actually covered a couple mm-hmm. episodes back. But the character Richie, which is played by Raul Castillo, which, like...
Oh, mm-hmm. so fun.
The day I met him, I was about to jump him, and I was like, wait, I don't know him. You can't do that.
Look, I don't want to objectify him, but he's fine.
No, yeah, I was like, it was super nice. There was that character in Looking. I remember in season 2, it was the episode of Richie and that Patrick guy. They go and visit Richie's family.
The one that Tanya Sriracha wrote.
Yeah, Tanya. Shout out to Tanya. And I didn't even know who she was. Like, she was in the episode. And I was like, who is this? Like, I want to see this more.
His cousin, Ceci?
Yeah, Ceci. Yeah. And so I saw that episode. And I just remember that it was different. I knew it was different. Because that same day, my friend who was also watching the same show, shout out to Luciana, we went out to the club that night. And we were drinking and pre-gaming before we went to the club. And then we were talking about that 30-minute episode. We look at the clock, and it was like an hour and a half in the car just talking about how amazing this episode is. Like, yeah, I've gone through that, and I've gone through that too. And it was like, it was that moment. It's like, it was one episode, and it was just like, why isn't there more of this?
Right.
It was like, about him.
It was like the most, yeah. It was like, what happened to that? But like, it was just like, it clicked, and I was like, yeah, why isn't there more of that? Like, and so that's what really inspired me was Tanya's episode there. And then I started looking more into that one, and I started looking a little bit more of Tanya, and then I started the interviews, and that show was like, you know what? It'd be kind of cool to see something from my perspective. And so that's kind of what kicked this thing off. The House of Flowers, I just finished that.
Yo soy gay.
The sock puppet, yes.
I love that.
Yeah,
his name Chewy.
Yes, Chewy. Shout out to Chewy.
Oh, and we can't forget One Day at a Time. But,
One day at a time.
Our obsession.
Yeah.
One day at a time.
Yes. It's actually that show, too, was the first show. Well, that along with Looking, because Looking, they actually on HBO, they give it to you subtitle that I was able to watch it with my mom. Mm. And we were able to actually have those conversations and just turn off the TV and just continue the conversation about, like, oh, okay. And now it's like, my mom has always been very acceptive, but she's always been like the, yeah, I like you. But like, I accept who you are, you know, she's also very conservative, even though I grew up, you know, with a Buddha statue and a Ganesh statue and everything about the Lupa statue, but she was also very conservative in her ways. But she's always been like the most loving person, but it was like the most, seeing those shows was the first time we were able to talk. Just, hey, so what do you do? And so it's been pretty cool how to seeing those shows and obviously seeing the impact it can happen. It's like, obviously, it's very impactful. People are talking about this.
That's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's mine. So that's,
yeah, what about you?
I'll let you take over.
I guess for me growing up, like I'm third generation here. So I didn't necessarily grow up in a very traditional household. My mom, they were raised in Watts, so like in South Central LA, where it was predominantly, you know, it's predominantly Black people, and they got made fun of a lot for like speaking Spanish and da 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 da, you know, that's just like the history of the time. So I kind of like, I grew up with like Motown and like Fresh Prince and like Living Single, like those types of shows. Like I don't, that's kind of how, where Living I identified Single. In a way. I mean, like I knew I was Latinx, but again, like we weren't really, like that wasn't necessarily passed down to us. But now as I get older, like I wanna become more a part of that, and I see it around me constantly. So I'm really like trying to find it within myself. Even, you know, I'm an adult now, but as a kid, like I was also kind of not necessarily accepted because I didn't speak Spanish like fluently, and it was hard for me to kind of find my way because obviously like I'm not Black, I'm Latino, but I'm Latinx, but I didn't speak the language. So, and I was also like queer too, like trying to figure that out. So I was like kind of lost like as a kid, what but I loved, yeah, like what the fuck am I?
Mulan really hit home. Like when
I'm not Mulan, like I'm not any, but like I loved Disney movies like growing up. Like that was like my childhood. Loved Disney. Like I said, I love Fresh Prince and like Living Single. But now as I get older, I'm like really looking for that Latinx content. And like, you know, I'm working on my Spanish, like I'm trying to do all that.
Are we the same person? Oh my god.
What happened?
Are we the same person?
Maybe, I don't know. Oh my god.
The same kind of hood.
It makes me really happy. We're actually twins separated at birth.
Right? But
different world was my favorite.
But I've just been discovering that there's just not one way to be something. Like there's not one way to be Latinx. And like one of the people that I look up to is Gina Rodriguez. Like I feel like I really identify with how she was raised and her upbringing and like what she's trying to do for the community. I know people, I think that some people think she like is kind of problematic, but mm-hmm. for me,
she's learning,
which is I'm learning too. Hope, yeah. Like
of course, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Nobody's perfect, but I think that her intentions are good.
Right. I don't think that she is in her head like I want to be anti-Black. Like no, yeah. Of course right. not. Yeah. Like she's yeah. just you
she
know
she just needs more training.
Right. Right.
Just let
exactly.
Black women talk all the time, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just
actually,
I have feminism.
Right. Actually, like Christy and I. Shout out to Christy, my friend from
what
college,
Christy?
Who I just talked to,
yo,
who I just met up with today.
What's poppin'?
We reconnected. What's up, girl? We were talking about her, and she, you know, she asked me that question, like, do you think she's problematic? And I'm like, I think she's human.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's fucking up. Well, she has fucked up, and like people do that shit. Like,
yeah,
I fuck up.
I think she's
me?
Human.
Yeah.
Thank God for the edit button. I mean, like,
right.
Shout out to me not being a fucking celebrity. I mean, how many times I've been fucking called out?
Right. But it's huge though, because she's leading a series on a network show. That's huge.
Shout out to Rafael Agustin,
who we got we just spoke with him. Yeah,
that's huge. That's major. So yeah, I mean, people like her who are paving the way, just like women of color in general, like Viola Davis. Like, I am down for Widows. I'm gonna go see that shit
immediately.
It reminds me of Set It Off, which is a film that I actually loved as a kid. Ooh, I watched that shit as a kid.
And no, that's like the episode of ours that you should listen to.
Okay, yeah, drunk on it. Yeah. I watched that as a kid, but just like female strong,
just women of
female
color.
Women of color characters, whether they're Latinx, Black, like Asian. That is what I want to, like, the roles that I want to play, that I want to see myself in, are ones that propel us forward, whatever that may look like.
Right.
Have y'all seen Mosquita and Mari?
I haven't, no.
Have you heard of our Lord and Savior, Mosquita and Mari?
I'd like to welcome you to the Church of Aurora Good at all.
Happy
to be here.
I think that's fantastic. There, like you were saying earlier, like there's not one way to be a Latina, you know, or Latinx.
That's how
like,
we are.
Because yeah. we have completely different
completely story. Different
yeah,
stories,
like for me, it was like super traditional, fluent Spanish is my first language type of shit.
Some like rancheras and norteños,
which is dope, and that's what I'm trying. Like I'm trying to pick up on that too and listen to that more.
You don't have
no, but it, like you know what I mean. I'm just like trying to be open.
You can want to connect. That's one key thing that you said that I was like super happy to hear, is that you're trying to work on your Spanish, you know what I mean? Like that's amazing. That's a part of, like, I did that too once. I was fluent and I still did that, like, because it just makes you feel so much better.
Oh, yeah. It does, and it's just a way, it's a better way to communicate, like
these people. Sure. connect with your people, like especially go to restaurants or people, like anytime you go somewhere in the service industry where you see your people in labor, it's like
like it's just a way of connection, human connection. Like I want to meet you half, you know, I want to meet you halfway and be able to do that.
I think it's,
but there's no wrong way. There's no wrong way. Like I grew up the same way, thinking, am I Latinx enough? And I never have been. I've either been called like whitewashed or like or no, in Texas
that's not a term in Texas.
In Texas they just call you Chicana, and that's the insult.
And that's the insult.
My mom I grew up with that. I don't like I technically am Chicano.
Yeah, right.
I don't like the name.
I think it's
because
a cultural
it has
thing more than
it's like a slur. Because like when your parents are immigrants and they call you that, it's like the worst thing they can call you.
I mean, maybe not the worst, but yeah, it's definitely a negative connotation. It's like you're Americanized.
Yeah,
you have these fucked up values.
The way I always take it, and I was actually just literally talking about this yesterday with my friend Marisa. Shout out to Marisa. When I was younger, I was always had this anger that now as I'm older, I kind of like had to learn to let it go, because it's like everyone has their own experience. But when I was younger, I would always get so mad when people were like, would say, oh, I'm Hispanic, I'm Latino, but they don't speak Spanish. And I was like, you don't have the same experience that I do. Like, I was a translator when I was 5 years old. I was a translator when I was eight. Regardless of what you think, that, you know, why did my mom have me translate? You know, put that aside. But I had to deal with that. Me and my older sister, you know, we had to do that when we were younger. So I had a different experience compared to someone who didn't. And so that was my anger kind of growing up with it. But then I was growing up too, then, you know, I would see people who don't speak it, but they know more about the culture than people who only speak Spanish. Then I moved here to LA, and I see people who are fluent in Spanish, but they don't know the culture. And so it's like, what? So, I mean, I learned to let that go. Because it's like, you know, here's like what Liz is saying. It's like, here I am, I'm trying to connect, you know, and it's that's the biggest difference. Because there's people who are like, who don't speak it. They speak Pocho Spanish, and they're just like, oh, but I'm Latino, but they... they're voting against us. They're not worrying about our topics.
No,
but they want
to speak fluent Spanish and vote against
us. But they want to put that, you know, that little Tajin spice on their life to make them feel a little bit special. Mm-hmm. But they think that, you know, they can
they
go under and
better
be
better than like an immigrant. Like it's trash.
But I've definitely learned to let go of, you know, the whole start. Like if you don't speak Spanish, you know, like, oh, like roll my eyes. Like, no, like if you're definitely knowing the community and respecting the community, and then by all means, you're welcome and thank you for all you do. So,
right.
But yeah, that's...
I feel so seen right now. I feel so seen.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. There's no wrong way of being it, other than if you're like a Trump supporter, then you can fall off.
Then you can get the fuck out. I was going to
fall off a mountain and get shot into space. Like,
no, we still love you, but let's please educate you somehow. Well,
you're nicer than me.
Let me introduce you to our Lord and Savior, Mosquita y Mari.
No, it's interesting. I mean, just like seeing the numbers in Texas, I was like, I mean, I'm not from Texas, but it's like, that's just a clear representation. It's like, you what?
Like, people are, like, so nice to you, and they're there for you, and they'll do anything for you, but they also vote against you.
Yeah.
It makes zero sense.
Well, that's like family.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know if you've had this in your family, but I have that in my family. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, oh yeah, we're there for you and da da da. But then you voted this way. Mm-hmm. So how am I supposed to feel about
my
that?
My cousin's,
you know,
parents are like undocumented and he votes against them all of the time.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah. And he got brainwashed in the military. There's plenty of people that don't go to the military and get brainwashed. He's one of them that did though. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, homeboy, you dark as fuck. You could have been in jail because you were breaking the law. And now what? You vote against your immigrant parents,
yeah,
who are undocumented?
It's so baffling to me. Like, you just, you're getting played.
Yeah.
The self-hate. The self-hate there is, like
they think they're voting for themselves, but they're not.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's like...
Like, she has her on a tweet the other day. They're like, a Latino starts making, like, $60,000 a year, and they think that they're, like, fucking... in the next tax bracket. Like,
oh,
come
on.
Like,
okay, yeah.
No, yeah, sure. Like, oh, it's like, don't. But...
On the flip side of that, though, it's like... I've experienced this in my personal life. Like when I was working, you know, in corporate financial planning, like I was earning decent money, like pretty good money for my age. And sometimes you have people around you that see that and they're like, oh, what you think? Like you're not, like you don't think that. You're just like working towards something better. So it's like, oh, what do you think? Like you're this and you're that, or you can go, you know what I mean? So it can be difficult.
Too.
It is, yes, but it's like, in a reverse kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I didn't appreciate being shamed for like trying to make something of myself.
Oh, that's trash.
You know what I mean?
There's no sense of that. Like if you're not voting for Trump and you're making $60,000, like that's fine.
That's barely enough.
It's all good.
That's totally good. You do just, what you want.
For it's just going back to politics again, just like for minorities to vote for Trump, like it's just something that I can't wrap my head around. And it's like, I just feel like everybody's just being played, like colonialism at work. That's
pretty
how it
much.
Worked back in the day. They set up laws for us to not convene and like unite together because they were worried that we were going to come together and like overthrow. And that shit is still valid right now.
Oh,
that's still
so
what
true.
Happening.
Right.
But you're still, you guys are like in a different world in comparison to Texas. Like, the voter restriction out there is ridiculous.
Yeah,
like,
here, I mean, this shook me
you
to
can
my
get
fucking
registered
core.
In the same day,
the same day that you vote, you can
like,
fucking register and walk your ass
can't
over
you
there.
Can't you just like do drive-through balloting? Like, what the fuck?
Damn, I wish.
We can mail it off.
Yeah,
we just
put that
mail
on the
it off
next year.
In fucking Texas, like they won't
you
let
you
do
shit.
You
can mail it off in Texas.
Can you really?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, then, right.
I used to register voters. Yeah.
What?
No, but the deadline to get registered in Texas is almost like a month in advance.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous, and people who aren't able-bodied, don't have a license, they don't have an ID because maybe they don't work, the elderly, the disenfranchised are often like people of color, the elderly, and that's like people who should be voting because these things affect them on healthcare, on fucking economic reform, taxes on their house, like those things all matter. And sorry, I got a degree in political science.
Dang.
We're triggered. Like this, it's real.
Well,
that's
and
voter
the simpler shit.
Fine.
Like literally, like Texas
water.
In particular,
just water, bro.
People can't
water.
Like, there's public transportation in Texas is trash. Like you can't get anywhere. Like from where I grew up, there's no fucking way that I can get to wherever the fuck I wanted to go. There was just no transportation like that. So
yeah.
It's before Uber.
Yeah. Uber. Oh man. No, yeah, it was like crazy though. What was it when I realized here, like LA was like, I mean, provided our subway or
it's
whatever.
It's a little
metro,
trash, but it's okay.
But they were like giving it for free on election day. I was like, there is no damn excuse for y'all not to go there.
California doing that shit.
So,
but we are lucky. I mean, we are lucky to be where we are. It is thankfully a blue state. Even though in some parts of this state it's still
on
very
Prop 10 still didn't fucking I'm still mad about that.
I have feelings. I have so many feelings about that.
But ultimately it goes back to what you were saying, like that self-hating thing, which is I think very common with everyone. Like what I like to say is like for me, I came out twice. When I was coming out as gay and queer, it was the whole, which actually is talked a little bit on the show, but when I was coming out as queer, it was like that like struggle where I was like, okay, I'm gay, but I don't know, I'm not that gay, you know, but I'm not, you know,
God.
I'm not this.
You have to be a certain kind.
I don't, and then it was always like that, like, why am I doing this? And I was like, well, I don't want to go through this again. And what I mean by this is when I was young, like, I was self-hating. I was like, I'm Mexican, but I'm not that Mexican, you know, like, I'm going to be better. I'm going to do this. And it was like, so like, when I look back, I'm like, fucking shut up. Like someone slapped me, like, like all like brown preto looking. And I'm like, oh, but I'm not this. I'm not that. And so when I came out as gay, it was like, bitch, your own mind's telling you that you have to accept something else. And I came up to mom, I was like, mom, I'm Mexican. And she's like, get the fuck out of here. But it was like, for sure, it was like at that point, I was like, I knew the language, I grew up and was raised, but for some reason, there was just always this like internal thing that was like blocking me that I didn't want to embrace, because I felt if I embraced it, people would look at me and like think that I'm less. And luckily now I'm just like, I luckily am thankful that I was able to get in the mindset that I started liking myself, that I can identify as queer, I can identify and be proud of my roots, because there was definitely a point when I was growing up that I was like, you know, I'm not this, because if I start doing that, everyone else that isn't me won't think I can do the same thing. But bitch, I was learning the same language, I was learning your same references in high school, like I learned your Barbara Streisand and I learned my Rocio Dulcal. Like how many of y'all can say that you did that, like, because
that's very touched on it in functional series.
But it was always that internal monologue, though. It's like,
it's tough.
I have to prove, but like, who is there to prove? I don't know. It was always just like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but you grew.
Yeah, so
healed.
Thankfully, it's like, but then I see a lot of people. It's like, oh, I'm here for you. Like, when you're ready to come out as Mexican, I'm here for you. Because we all, well, it's like funny because like everyone's like growing up is like, oh, we all knew you were gay. I was like, well, we all knew you were Mexican too, but you're trying to pretend that you're not.
Gosh. So,
yeah. Interesting.
So
that's really
welcome to our therapy session.
Hello.
Hi. Yes.
Wow, where did we start on this card? I think we were just asking, like, where did you start yourself representing?
Also, what did we saw on TV, anyways? TV.
So Netflix, really. Oh,
so Netflix is pretty chill.
Oh, San Junipero. Oh, my God. Junipero. Excuse me.
Junipero.
Everything.
You know what I was thinking about earlier when you were talking about that episode of Looking? Is the Thanksgiving episode on Master of None, which I think we had a lot of similar feelings on. That one was, like, I'd never seen anything like it.
That made me so happy because I was like, I always had like a black male best friend, and like I was this little brown queer girl, and he'd always be at my house for Thanksgiving, and just like having the different cultures represented at the same time is so real to our experience that we never really get to see black and brown people convene and be in community and being like, that's what America looks like now. And Lena Waithe doing that was like,
shout out to Lena Waithe.
She actually listens. She follows us.
For listening to that episode.
Hey, Lena.
She listens to our
episode. She listens to a episode. We don't know that she listens to all of them.
She does follow
She's
us.
She's like, Lena Waithe is a big fan of our show.
No.
She makes us
all the time.
Big fan. She followed us.
She does follow us, but I don't think she likes follows us. You know what I mean?
She likes our pictures on occasion.
She did like our picture that a couple of times, and I was like, okay, so when are we getting married? Like,
get in line. I'm first.
Okay.
No, she's my butch exception.
A rap battle it is.
Are we talking about preferences now?
I think that's what's happening.
No, we don't have to get into that right now.
Do that off of the. She's my butch
exception. We'll do
that
off air.
Once we turn off the recording, then we'll start talking about that.
Okay, this is over. No, I'm just kidding. Gosh, what else can we jump into your minds about?
Oof. Yeah, kind of. Just want to pick your brain on absolutely anything. Yeah. I'm just like, just tell me everything. I just want to know all of the things.
You're both actors. You're also a creative, but you're both actors. What's your dream role?
Yeah.
You might already be playing
I've
been putting out this into the universe, but like it's like happening, but like it's not with me. My dream role has always been Sunny from In the Heights. The musical.
That's like the second person we've gotten that's like referenced.
That's referenced in the Heights today. Yeah.
Shout out Lin-Manuel.
You're gonna hear it like 3 weeks apart.
Oh, dude! When that musical came on Broadway, I was like, yes, yes, because I was like going through theater, and again, me coming from I barely even know what a Britney Spears was.
Britney.
So she's the one who threw the first brick at Stonewall, right?
Yes. How did you know?
I barely knew that.
But no, then I was like going into theater, and everyone's like judging me with like, you don't know who Barbara Streisand is, you don't know who. It's like, I don't know what.
I don't know.
Like, listen, I listen to them. They're great. And I understand why they're amazing. But like, I know a lot of more people. But when In the Heights came out, all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh my God, I love the Latinos. I'm like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah. I feel that.
Thank you for loving it, but yeah.
So cool. Sunny, okay.
But yeah, that's my dream role.
Cool.
I mean, the movie's coming out, so hey, I put my
I'm excited
audition,
about that.
So.
Yeah, I'm hyped.
Free.
Lin-Manuel, if you're listening to this.
What's that?
Yeah.
For me, like, I just think it would be super dope to be a superhero.
Yes. Okay, so
shout out to Stan Lee. Unfortunately, he passed away today.
R.I.P.
Stan. You know, that's been on my mind a lot.
Okay, really. So we met you.
Mm-hmm.
before this, and both of us walked away going, she should be a superhero.
Well, okay, so I said Renee Montoya.
Ones. We had different ones.
Okay.
Oh. I said
Renee Montoya.
I said America Chavez. Mm-hmm.
I've gotten that before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we Twitter stalked me now.
Okay. Which I'm so down for.
I was a little trash, so I don't remember that. But yes.
No, yeah America Chavez, I also think you would be great for it, yeah. But Renee Montoya, like, has a special place in my heart. And not enough people know about her either. She's, like, this detective.
Who is it?
Renee Montoya.
She's going to be played by Rosie Perez.
Yeah, she's going to be played by Rosie Perez.
The great Rosie Perez, too.
So. Shout out, Rosie.
Birds of Prey, yeah. But still.
I think both walked away and we're like, she should be a superhero.
I just really want to be. I think we need it.
It's in the stars.
Man. Yeah, we need. But we also, like, need that as a community, too.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely. I mean, why can't... Comic books have a really good amount of representation already. They're built out. And then the comics
exactly.
superhero... business is booming like a motherfucker right now. Throw us in, guys.
I don't even know how many y'all can pull out. I was like, wait, there's what?
No,
in terms of like superheroes and things.
Ready, I
know like the superhero market, in my opinion, is a little, it's saturated, mm-hmm. right? With all Absolutely. Like the Marvel movies and the Avengers 1 billion. But when you throw someone different in there, like I'm tired of seeing the same shit. Over and over, like mm-hmm. it's taxing.
For
I'm
sure.
like, we need different characters, like different stories. Like America Chavez is a really interesting one that mm-hmm. I've been actually researching more because I'm not like a
Have
big
you read
comic.
Young Avengers?
I'm not a big like comic book person, mm-hmm. but I'm just like, yeah. But I'm starting to do. I'm just starting to learn as much as I can, yeah. like about the different facets of this industry. And I was like, I need to be a fucking superhero. I'm just throwing it out there, throwing it into the universe. Yeah. It's gonna happen
we
at some point.
It. We believe it. Mm-hmm. Are you practicing punching best. Nazis? Are you just at home?
I do like stage combat and stuff like that.
Proud of you.
You know, I do this. Like P90X Kenpo in my Jeez. Living room.
I don't know what that means.
Which
I'll
is teach
just
you, like two
some
moves.
Weird martial arts, but
I'll
not
teach you
martial
some
arts.
Moves after this.
Okay. Someone who's ready, just saying. Someone is ready.
Got you. I will train you.
But I think, yeah, at this point, that's like my dream role.
Right on. Okay, cool. Yeah. Or what do you guys expect the response to be to the web series? Or what do you hope for?
Well, it's like, for me, it's like we've been a couple sleepless nights now. Because at first, it's when this idea came, I was like, yeah, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be really cool. And it's been great. But now it's like, oh, shit, there's more people involved. It's not just me now. Now these are other people who have been putting their time and their efforts mm-hmm. and stuff. And I don't want to be biased, but y'all, it's good because of these people. What I want the response, I mean, the response at this point, I just want people to see it. I want people to start a conversation from it. And, you know, like, if y'all love it, cool, let me know. If you don't, then let me know too. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, I just wanted to start a conversation because, I mean, that's something that we need. And if we start a conversation, that's what people start saying, oh, this is good. Let's do more of this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even if it's not, let's have someone else put more stuff. I mean, but if it's us, then I'll you know, that's fine. We can do this. Right. I definitely have a lot of high hopes. And so, I mean, like, I'm very excited to people to kind of start seeing what this is going to unravel. And I'm, like, really excited to see what people are going to think about it, especially as the story progresses.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it.
I'm hype.
For sure.
I just want people to feel seen.
Right.
It.
Yeah.
That's. Mm-hmm. I think that's for me. That was ultimately because I saw myself in the character that you wrote, and I was like, "Oh my gosh! Like, I need to play this character," and for me, she just really resonated. And I'm like, I can't be the only one, right?
Right.
No.
Going through it, we're never the only one. So hopefully, it reaches that at least one person who feels like they're the only one, and who can just get something. Hopefully, something positive out of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that would just make it completely successful.
Like, there could be just someone who's like, hey. Because, I mean, the themes that I kind of went through, it's like, you know, I kind of want to dedicate to a show to a younger me, but also to anyone who ever felt unwanted or they just weren't good enough for a person that either, you know, good enough for work, good enough for a friend, good enough for a lover, you know. It's like that. It's okay to feel insecure in those moments of insecurity. It's where you can definitely pick yourself up. But also, again, paying homage to the people around you and knowing that you have outlets from that. And to be grateful for those outlets that you have as well.
We interrupt this heartwarming interview with a mini interview with none other than Manolo Caro, the creator of Casa de las Flores on Netflix, and Mexico's sweetheart, Ana Claudia Talancón. She's an amazing actress. She stars alongside our favorite, Claudia Suarez, in Manolo's new film, Perfectos Desconocidos. A special thank you to the amazing Luz from Let There Be Luz for giving me the opportunity to interview these lovely, lovely people a while back. The interview is really quick. It's only 5 minutes and it's completely in Spanish. So if you don't speak it, then, I mean, feel free to skip forward. I did that because, I mean, I think they were probably a lot more comfortable speaking it, even though I kind of wasn't, which you will hear in a little bit. And yeah
and after that cute little interview, we're going to go back and talk to our friends from Functional Series. And whether or not you listen to the interview, make sure to watch Perfectos Desconocidos. It comes out January 11th in the U.S. And it's an amazing film. If you like drama and comedy, shit, if you liked Casa de Flores, then you're going to love this fucking movie. Also, like, if you're into astrology, go watch it, guys. It's amazing. So, bye.
Hola Manolo y hola Ana Claudia. Felicidades en el éxito de Casa de las Flores.
Gracias.
Hicimos un episodio en el podcast de Casa de las Flores y todos lo escucharon. Todos. Bueno, una pregunta para ustedes. En mi podcast hablamos de la representación de la gente LGBT y de la gente latina. Para ustedes, ¿qué significa representar a la gente que no es representada en la televisión y en las películas? ¿Qué le significa a ustedes?
Bueno, sí, yo así, es que está muy bien. Bueno, para mí es muy importante darle visibilidad a ciertos temas, ¿no? Uh-huh. Yo creo que es clave comprometerse con cosas y banderas que a uno le atañen, ¿no? Y a mí me encanta, por ejemplo, defender y darle visibilidad a la comunidad LGBT+. He estado muy en contacto con los colectivos, con el colectivo trans también. Ahora con la Casa de las Flores era muy importante caminar de la mano para no cometer errores, ¿no? Porque también es muy fácil después, entre la ficción y que funcione y la comedia, caer en un lugar donde puedas llegar a ser ofensivo. Entonces es bueno estar de la mano, doble checando y ayudando a una causa que para mí es importantísima.
Y lo importante que es hoy en día es ser inclusive, ¿cierto? Uh-huh. No discriminar de ninguna forma. Creo que con el ejemplo, digo, yo no tengo ninguna película que hable al respecto ni ninguna serie, pero apoyo desde mi trinchera.
Sí, no, y justo eso, como dice Ana, yo creo que más allá de si tenemos proyectos que hablen, porque yo creo que sería bien difícil para nosotros, ¿no? Para un director o para una actriz siempre estar buscando ciertos proyectos que tengan, que tengan algo, sobre la mesa, pero como personas yo creo que somos partidarios de darle voz, ¿no? A ciertas causas que nos interesan. Muchas, los animales.
En realidad es la que más queda, ¿no?
Protección.
El día a día.
Sí. Uh-huh.
El ejemplo de la forma de vida, claro, que tienes en todos los días.
Uh-huh. Pues muy bien. ¿Y qué es algo que a ustedes les gustaría ver en las películas o que le gustaría a usted, Manolo, crear o traer al cine que no hemos visto antes?
Bueno, pues ahora...
Si te va a decir su idea. Ah, no, sí. Si se me quiere que se la robe todo el mundo.
No, mi secreto.
Justo ahora tengo muchísimas ganas de... No sé si pronto, pero me encantaría hacer algo para niños. Yo creo que también ahí hay una... varias ideas donde puedes, desde chavitos, ayudar por medio de la cultura pop, ¿no? Que es lo que hacemos nosotros y está muy bien porque la cultura pop ha regido muchísimo... Y influencia muchísimo a la sociedad. Entonces me gustaría hacer algo para niños, me gustaría hacer algo que ayude a la protección de animales, me gustaría hacer más comedia y pasarla bien, como la pasamos con Perfectos Desconocidos.
Y a usted, Ana, ¿cómo qué le gustaría hacer?
Ver o hacer. Uh-huh. A mí me encantaría hacer algo de ciencia ficción. Siempre he tenido ganas.
Estaría muy divertido, ¿no?
Sí. Me encanta algo de las cosas que más me gusta de actuar es poder vivir algo que solo puede vivir en la imaginación, ¿no? Uh-huh. Traer de la imaginación, hacer real algo que solo vive en la imaginación. Y pues con la ciencia ficción, ser una sirena voladora o una adicta malgeniuda o algo así.
O se puede hacer lo que sea.
Se puede hacer lo que sea. Así que algo así me darían muchas ganas.
Bueno, no sé cuánto tiempo nos queda. Ya, creo que ya tenemos.
Oye, qué rápido, ¿no? Oye, bueno, ni los invitamos a ver la película.
Este 11 de enero.
Así, no, no nos vamos a ir de aquí sin decirles que no se pierdan Perfectos Desconocidos.
Aquí se estrena el 11 de enero en Estados Unidos. No pueden dejar de verla porque es una película que los va a divertir, es una película actual. Van a salir comentándola y les va a gustar, la van a querer recomendar.
Y tengan mucho cuidado con lo que escondan en su celular, porque ahora que vean la película entenderán por qué.
Sí, todos vean a Perfectos Desconocidos el enero 11. Ok, muchas gracias por dejarme preguntarle unas cosas.
Gracias a ti.
Well, to end off our show, I want to ask you guys to help me convince my listeners, or our listeners, to watch the series, because I'm convinced because I was on set, but that's a whole ass different story, like... So can you guys help us out?
Yeah, well, have you ever woken up in a slumber covered in Takis with a raging hangover?
Have you ever told your friend that they were a fucking hot mess?
Have you ever chugged a bottle of vodka and thrown up on your significant other's lap?
Do you love this shit?
Are you high right now?
Do you ever get nervous?
Are you single?
Queer vibes, y'all.
Ooh. Functional, coming out 2019.
Hey.
2015.
Which is what the series is made of.
Yes. Hashtag 2015.
I'm really excited for it to come out, and we're going to obviously link it everywhere, but...
Thank you so much.
You guys got to tell us where we can find you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, you can find Functional Series... on the Instagram at Functional Series, Twitter at Functional Series, just no S.
No,
ran out of characters.
Who and, did that?
The struggle.
It ran out of characters. And at this point, I'm in 2D, but I can't change it. And then Facebook, so Functional Series, and then you can find us. And then when this episode comes out, there is content already from these creators that are the directors and the DPs that I'll also put links to. On those pages that like they're available now, y'all can watch it. There's two seasons of these two shows, The Leslie and It's Complicated and Invisible Struggle.
Where can we find you specifically?
Oh, me. Well, I am on Instagram. It's at luna.tico.
Lunatico.
Yes.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at I woke up like Lys, LYSA.
And is there anything else that you guys want to shout out, like work that you've done in the past, where they can check you out?
Shout out to Girlship TV and Amanda Holland for creating this really awesome web series called Parallel. It's about two queer women in a relationship, and they ask themselves, would we be together in parallel universes? And we go through these different AU scenarios. Yeah, it's very interesting. And I love Amanda for the simple fact that she writes these stories, and it's not always like a coming out story. It's just
a queer story.
Yeah, it's just a queer story. It's just the story, and we happen to be queer, and we go through these. It's a fun like rom-com series. So shout out to her. That we just wrapped in October. Also have this really cool like sci-fi indie feature film that's hopefully dropping sometime early next year. So I can't give too many details.
gotcha.
But you know,
retain the magic.
Not until we turn the
retain
magic.
The mystery. Yes. But no, yeah, thank y'all so much. It was an honor, like, no, that y'all would you. Even consider us, like, or that you got inspired off of an episode we did, like, that blew my mind.
No, and thank you. And actually, real quick of a thing, shout out to you guys for creating this space and talking about this stuff that. And for some reason, I'm like, why don't more people talk about this or have this space like you guys have? So thank you guys for having this and having a space where people can go and listen. And
we're inspired the same way you're inspired. We're like, we don't see that space. Fuck it. We'll just make
just
it.
Just make your own. That's badass.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thank you guys so much for being here. Like, this has been a really fun time. Thank you for the beer.
Thank you for the beer.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes.
That was one of the best parts.
That's it.
Yes. Highlight of the day. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great end of the day. And thank you guys for listening. As always, follow us at CYC Podcast. We're going to link everything about Functional Series on cabronasychinguenas.com. And rate and review and all that good stuff. You know,
five stars only.
Cinco estrellas. And
we five-star bitches, okay? Come on.
Five-star bitches only.
Okay, bye. Bye.